Welcome to the Jaspy Old School Podcast, episode number 337.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast. Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork. Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help you achieve jazz piano freedom so that you can express your true inner soul and emotions instead of having to copy what others have shown you. Now, we do this by providing structured and organized jazz piano education on specific jazz piano tools that you can then take and use over any tune so that you have complete jazz piano freedom. Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode 337. My name is Brendan Lowe, creator and founder of Jazz Piano School. This is such a fun episode. Such a fun. Can you feel my excitement? I'm very excited. And the reason is because I did something so different in this episode. And I check out YouTube channels, obviously, and things like that. And, you know, okay, sorry. I'm on something right now. You know, it's life, okay? I'm high on life. And there's two things in life, right? And especially on this journey, in jazz piano, right? There's education, learning, right? And then there's practice. There's taking action and practicing. So it's really funny how the human brain works, how I work to all humans, really, is education can be like a drug. Learning can be like a drug. We can get stuck in a cyclic pattern of feeling like we're making progress, telling ourselves we're making progress because we're learning. But what is actually happening when that happens? Our brain is absorbing information and learning. That's great. You need to learn. But at some point, if you don't take action and practice or do something with the knowledge you have, nothing ever changes, right? So you got to practice. And you're like, Brendan, why are you telling me all this stuff? Because in this episode, probably as you saw in the title, we are going to be doing just that. And I'm going to be practicing with you through Structure 1, Rootless Voicings. We're going to be doing 5 different tempos. I'm going to be giving you all sorts of amazing nuggets as we're practicing in between the tempos, things like that. But I would save this episode and subscribe if you haven't, obviously, because I'm going to be doing way more of these, and I think it's going to be awesome. It's going to be really, really amazing for your progress and fun. Progress and fun. I don't know why fun came out, but yeah, it's fun, I guess. It's going to make it more fun to practice with me. It's like, you know, I was in the health and fitness industry for a while. Like, when you would go to a group class and you had an instructor there kind of like saying like, all right, keep it up. Like, let's go 5 more, right? Has anyone done that? You know, I can't see any of you out there, but, you know, raise your hand if you have. That was fun, right? And I used to actually teach those classes when I was in personal training, when I was a fitness manager. I mean, can you hear it in my voice? Like, I'm a pretty excitable guy, right? So if you're at home, like, sorry, this is really funny. If you're at home and you're doing sit-ups and you're just by yourself, there's no music, or hopefully you're listening to something to like try to amp you up, but it's just not the same. It's just not the same. And you know what? You know, I've been seeing, maybe we can get some live streams happening with practice. You know, there's an element to a group practice session where you know others are around you doing it as well. Even if you're watching me, that only goes to a certain extent, right? If you have others around you, though, practicing with you, it's kind of like, man, I love this app, Headspace. Great meditation app. But it shows you the number of, it's such a great feature. I wish I could build this in a Jazz Piano School, the membership somehow. It's such an amazing feature. It shows you how many others are meditating with you at the same exact time, right? And it's the power of community and knowing that you're not alone in the journey to, right, get better. So if I could try to, I'm going to write this down. I really think that'd be an awesome thing. If it could show the number of the people like practicing at the same time, the same thing you are, It would show you like, oh, 20 people or 100 people are practicing the rootless voicing structure one. You'd be like, oh my God, this is amazing. I got to practice my rootless voicing structure one. Like, it's motivating. It's encouraging. Anyway, I will, I lost my train of thought. I'm so amped up on this episode. All right. It's going to be fantastic. If you are not a YouTube or audio downloader subscriber, definitely go ahead and do that now. You can go to youtube.com/jazzpianoschool to watch the video. Obviously, this is the audio version you're listening to right now, but I'd highly recommend you subscribe to the audio podcast. Give it a 5-star review if you are enjoying the content, are entertained, and you're growing from it as a jazz pianist, or maybe just a person in life. Who knows? Whoops, sorry about that. See, I'm so amped up. I'm just hitting notes on the piano right now. I'm swinging my arms around. I wish you had a camera to see me right now. I look like an animated animatronic Disneyland character, probably. Okay. Anyway, great episode. Go ahead, subscribe to all the things Jazz Piano School. Go to the website. If you are interested, you do enjoy this episode, there's a membership available at jazzpianoschool.com. Just simply click on membership. We do have many courses you can buy one off. And then we have live teaching programs as well. My mastermind is going to be open again very, very soon, which is a 9-month teaching program with me personally. I'm not saying this, but pretty difficult to get into. So I do have some spots open, I believe. And if you're interested in that, simply just shoot an email into support. We'll get back to you. We can kind of talk about it. support@jazzpianoschool.com. But yeah, enjoy this episode. You can save it. You can use it as much as you want. And it's going to be fantastic. I had a great time filming it. So is that it? Yeah. Oh, well, last thing. Memorial Day is coming up. We have big, huge sales about 2 to 3 times a year. This is one of them. Memorial Day sale. We have kind of smaller stuff scattered throughout the year, but really, obviously, you probably know Memorial Day is one of the biggest sale days of the year. It's for anything you want to buy. There's Memorial Day sales on everything. Cars, mattresses, furniture, Target, you know, anything you want to buy, you can get a sale at Memorial Day. So, same thing applies here. If you want to get our most exclusive VIP highest discount deals, go to jazzpianoschool.com/Memorial Day Deals. jazzpianoschool.com/Memorial Day Deals. You're going to be brought to a web page there. Put your email in there, okay? And then we will send you the deals to whatever email you put in there so you can browse them, you can shop, you can do whatever you want. If you don't like the deals, you don't want to buy anything, no problem. You can unsubscribe to the list and never hear from us again. But at least check them out, because we're going to be offering up to 70% off on a lot of different things, lifetime membership, courses, just, again, really crazy. We get crazy with it on Memorial Day for sure. So it's one of the biggest sales that we run. Definitely go check that out. All right, enough plugging. Here we go. Enjoy this episode. Let me know how this goes too, because it's such a different episode. I'd love to hear from you. Feel free to write in. Feel free to comment. Whatever you want, you know, in all the ways and areas you can contact us these days, it's, you know, it's endless. So I would love to hear from you how this was, what you liked, what you didn't. If you want more of it, if you want me to do certain things to practice with you, totally. I'm totally on board. Okay, here we go. All right, so before I get started, I'm just going to do a little bit of review. So we're going to be doing our Structure 1 rootless voicings. They sound like this. We're going to be going through the circle of fourths at different tempos, but I want to just review the harmonies for you real quick. Here's my D minor 7 root position chord. Okay, so this is 1-3-5-7. I'm going to take 3-5-7-9. This is my rootless voicing minor 7, Structure 1. So for every minor seventh chord that I play, I'm going to use the same numeric structure, 3-5-7-9, of the particular minor seventh chord that we're playing. From here, to get to my dominant chord, all I have to do is move my third finger here down by a half step and then play the exact same notes I was already playing. So the only note that moves to our dominant chord is just my third finger dropping down by a half step. Everything else stays the same. But when we do this,
check out the degrees of our G7 chord that we're playing now. So just again to review, here's my normal root position G7. On the bottom, I'm playing a 7, 9, 3, 13. Okay? Now finally, from here, actually, my third finger, having been the only thing that moved last time, is going to be the only thing that stays this time. So now my third finger is going to stay on that B natural. Everything else is going to move to another 3, 5, 7, 9 structure. So we start with 3, 5, 7, 9. Then my third finger, third finger on the seventh of the chord moves down by a half step. Okay. And then everything else moves and we go back to 3, 5, 7, 9. Now there's a couple tricks I just want to show you, right? So check it out. All of our rootless voicings are made up of four notes. Two of notes, which are going to be the shells of the chord. So on my D minor 7, I'm playing 3 and 7, which moves to 7 and 3, which moves to 3 and 7. How easy is that? And that's why all instructors and educators tell us to practice our shells, because they're very, very useful when creating these popular voicings, right? The other thing I want you to notice is that besides the shells, in the minor chord, we have the 5 and we have the 9. So we only have one extension. On the dominant chord, we have our shells, and we have the 9 and 13. So we actually have two extensions in this chord, two neutral, natural extensions. Finally, on the C major 7, the major 7 chord, we have 3, 5, 7, 9. We have the 5 and 9 again, just one extension being the 9, okay? The other thing I want you to realize before we get into it, I promise real quick here, is that my rootless D minor 7 chord, if you check it out, what does that look like to you? That's just an F major 7 chord in root position, but I have a D in the bass. So this is a really, really helpful tip that I find students, if they kind of learn it this way, sometimes it helps them learn the voicing a lot easier. So I'm just playing a root position F major 7 chord in my right hand. Now, that's a good way to start off learning these, but I would recommend you change your mindset to thinking about this chord as 3, 5, 7, 9, because it's going to help you in the future with a lot of different extensions, solo piano, arranging work, so on and so forth. I don't really have a tip for this one because this really isn't anything. The dominant chord is your shells, the 9 and 13. There's no good chord for this, right? It's just, it is what it is, okay? Then, finally, again, if we check out this, 3, 5, 7, 9, this is just an E minor 7 root position for our major. So when we play a minor, I'm actually playing a major 7 in my right hand in root position. And when I play the major, I'm playing a minor 7 in my right hand, right? So it can get kind of confusing when you're looking at the chord symbols, but thinking about a different chord. That's why I wouldn't recommend it later on. But in the beginning, it's totally fine to learn like that, okay? If you don't really know your rootless voicings, then you're not going to be able to do this exercise. So you do need to learn them and kind of practice them through the keys before you actually do this. And that's just learning the notes. You just have to learn the notes so you can actually use the metronome and use some sort of accountability system to practice them. So you really have to practice without a metronome first, go through all the changes, go through the keys, and then you'll be ready for this step. So if you're a brand new beginner to rootless voicings, go back and learn them, watch one of the other podcasts, and then come back to this. We are going to do the tempos of 60, 90, 120, 150, and 180. That's five tempos, okay? And we're going to go once through all of the tempos. Maybe we'll go twice through. I'll see. I didn't really think that out too much. But the slow tempo is very slow, so I think we'll just do one time through. Maybe on the faster tempos, we'll go faster. Now, my tempo scale for all of Jazz Piano School inside the membership and just on these practice videos, 60 is you're just starting. You're just starting, right? So 60 is I'm just starting. Okay, 90 is you're getting the hang of it. Okay, the tempo, when you set your tempo scale at 90 BPM, it's like, okay, I'm getting it. 120 is solid. In Jazz Piano School and the membership, that means you can move on. When you have a drill and an exercise down at 120 BPM, you're good. You're swinging away. All right? You're solid. You're good to move on. 150 is, sorry, I used the word swinging in the last one. I shouldn't have used that. But 150 is really like you're swinging. Okay? It's flowing. You're swinging. You're using it. You can use it easily. Like you can integrate it. You can play it in tunes. And then finally, 180, you've mastered it. 180 is truly mastery at that tempo for these different types of exercises. You're good. If you leave the exercise for like 3 months and you come back to it, you will have not forgotten it. It'll be perfect. That is true mastery, okay? And that's what the 180 tempo gets you. So here we go. We're going to go one time through at the 60 BPM. We're going to be playing with iRail Pro. I'm going to be playing with you. You're going to hear a count off of four beats, and then we're going to go through this entire chart. I encourage you to not look at the chart. Try to memorize the 251s through the circle of force. That's going to be the best way to do it. But if you want to follow along, that's totally cool as well. Here we go. Just to make it an even four-bar phrase. Now we're moving to G minor, the key of F. And we're just using a holding pattern here. I'm really not going for rhythms at this point. I'm just working on practicing my notes, practicing my hand shapes, letting my fingers and my body learn that they should be playing without any sort of thought or hesitation, right? Here we go. Key of E flat, F minor 7. Okay, key of A flat, B flat minor 7. Now I am using my left hand to play some bass notes. If you want to do that, you can. If you want to just play right hand and practice your right hand, that's totally cool as well. Either or works. Key of D flat, getting there, we're getting there. Okay, we are halfway through. Key of G flat, A flat minor 7. Left, and we are done. B minor 7. Key of D, first chord E minor 7. Minor 7 first. All right. Fantastic job. You made it. That was 60 BPM. Whoops. Got rid of the iRail Pro there. Great job. Great job. Now, our goal there is to get to the whole tempo with no mistakes, no hesitations, no mistakes, exactly as I played it. If you can match up your playing with exactly what I did, you are in a fantastic spot. And that also means you can start to bump the tempo up too. Now, you don't need to jump directly to 90, although that's what we're going to be doing here. You can bump it up by just a little bit, and I strongly encourage that. Right, I've given you the set tempo marks as kind of like indicators of what your level is and your strength. So 60 is just starting. 90 is you're really getting the hang of it. Like I said, 120 is you can move on. Like you clearly got it down. It's solid. 150, it's swinging away. You're rarely thinking about it. You're using it in tunes. It's pretty integrated into your playing. I would say like 95%. And then 180 is mastery. So you can always practice at individual tempos in between there. If that didn't go so well for you, what you need to do is get rid of the tempo. You need to get rid of the pressure cooker, which is the tempo and the consistent flow of the time, and really work slowly on just playing your voicings through the 251s and getting right notes. And one of the biggest tips I can give to you is don't play a chord until you know the notes are right. So put your fingers over the chord, and when you know without a sliver of a doubt in your head that this chord is the right chord you're about to play, then play it. That's going to increase 10x the efficiency of your practice every single time. Okay. Now, like I also said, I'm doing left-hand bass notes with right-hand chords. I'm going to give you another tip. If you're trying to work on comping, your goal is to play in a band. We always want to work towards our goals, right? Because if we're just kind of working on exercise, that doesn't really mean anything. We want to work on exercises to get to our goal. So if your goal is to play in a band or you're trying to comp in a band, this is fantastic drill for you because 90% of what I do in a band... that's all rootless voicings. That's really all you need. Okay, obviously there's some flourishes and things like that that we can learn on top of that, but the majority of what you need to do is that. If you're playing solo piano, you like solo piano jazz, especially cocktail jazz, ballads, slow swing, medium swing, fast, this is what I use to comp for myself in between the space of the melody. So just friends. For the tune Just Friends, for example, when I play the melody and it's just holding there, I'm going to jump down. Guess what I'm going to use? Rootless voicings the majority of the time. So that's why these are so important for comping. If your goal is to comp and play in a band, if your goal is to learn solo piano, any sort of style. Now, if your goal is improv, I don't use my right hand rootless voicings the majority of the time. Do you know why? Because my right hand is improvising. My left hand needs to be the one to practice these voicings. So if you're really working on your improv and your goal is to get better at improv, do this exercise with your left hand, not your right hand and bass notes, okay? So I'm going to bump up the tempo now to 90 BPM. We are going to go to getting the hang of it, the getting the hang of it tempo, all right? So let's go through it again. If you're at this level, try it out, go for it, try to make no mistakes, try and match me perfectly. Here we go. You can use the pedal or you can just hold down the chords. I'd recommend, again, all long here. No short rhythms, no crazy rhythms just yet. Fantastic job. How'd you feel on that? Take a little bit of a break and assessment to see how it went, right? Were you making mistakes? Were you not? Was it exactly perfect, spot on with the rhythm? Were you exactly with me? Now, if your rhythm needs work, that's okay. I still probably wouldn't push up the tempo. If your notes need work, though, you definitely want to slow down the tempo. If your rhythm needs a little bit work, you could slow down the tempo, but if you're hitting the right notes, that's a good indicator that you can kind of stay where you're at and just really try to lock in with the groove and what I'm playing. If you're making mistakes though, that's definitely an indicator you want to slow the tempo down, maybe go back to 80, maybe drop down to 70. You essentially want to go drop down to as low as you need to make it absolutely perfect. We're shooting for perfection because, again, this is all about teaching our hands and our bodies the notes. This isn't about getting crazy right now. It's not about varying our rhythms, having like a lot of different varying rhythms and things like that. It's not about that. We're teaching ourselves the voicings so we can play the voicings properly and accurately, okay? That's the first step, and I see so many students just overlook this. They think they have it down, but they totally do not, okay? We're going to go to 120 now, and this is the true test in Jazz Piano School membership that says you can move on from this step if you can do the exercise at this particular tempo. You know, and it also means it's not just about moving on, but it means like you've really made progress in your rootless voicings. You can use them in the tunes based on the strategies and methods that I teach. You can start to really kind of utilize them in a free way because we are trying to learn freedom. You've learned that tool. You can use the tool, right? And you can make music out of it. And that's why getting to 120 is such a self-fulfilling reward, okay? So here we go, 120. See how you guys do. Good luck. Oops. Sorry, let me start it over from the beginning again here. Here we go. It's okay to lift your hand a little bit early to get to the chord if you want. All right, so I'm kind of lifting right here to get to the new key especially. All right, I'm going to lift, play. Ready? Play. Should be lifting with the whole arm, not just the fingers, right? Lift your whole arm. Lift. Move your hand. And we're halfway through. Can you believe this? It's flying by at 120. Here come our sharp keys. So, how many of you successfully completed the assessment? If you did, fantastic job. If you didn't, that's okay. Still fantastic job for even just trying. Now, again, if the notes are kind of not happening, you want to slow the tempo down, and I can't say this enough, but please don't cheat yourself. You're not cheating me. You're not hurting me, right? If you can't do this and you didn't do it and you try to move on, trust me, when you start to layer on more advanced topics, everything, you don't have a solid foundation, right? So you want to take the time to really master these and get to this particular tempo mark, the 120 BPM, before you start to move on, right? So this is structure one. We're just working on structure one. Don't try to work on other structures. Just work on one thing at a time, right? If you're trying to chase two rabbits, guess what? You're not going to catch either of them. Okay, you got to chase one rabbit, just go after one thing at a time, get it to 120, and then boom, feel accomplished, get the badge, move on to your next structure, okay? So let's see how many people can go to 150, and this is killing. This is the killing level, meaning you're sounding killing. And again, you're going to have to kind of move pretty fast, move from your wrists, your arms, try not to just jump, you know, with your wrists or your hands, I should say. Just a nice floating, keep your hands up, okay? And we're going to go through 150 one time. Here we go. Ooh, let's fly by. You can also use the pedal to connect if you want, but you can also just leave it empty, right? So I'll leave it empty for a little while. I'm just gonna leave the space, right? I just leave the space there to get my hand ready into the next position. Space. That was pretty killing, right? Like if you heard that, you'd be like, oh, well, this person knows their stuff, right? That's killing. So that's exactly why that level is, you know, described as what it is. It's killing. Like you're doing a great job. You're not really hesitating. You're not thinking about it. It's kind of all natural at this point. And you're using these chords pretty functionally, very functionally, I should say, in solo piano and comping. And if you're doing it with your left hand, you're using them in improv, right? As you comp for yourself. Voicings here in my left hand as I work on my right hand improv, right? But let's finish this off. We are going to go to 180 for all those students out there that want to truly, truly, truly test their abilities. And again, from here, it's all just mastery. I mean, if you can do 180, getting faster, it's like, you know, you reach a level where the reward doesn't pay off anymore at the tempo. It's just faster and faster and faster, right? It's more for flash or showy, you know. Stuff if you want to kind of get to that level. But here we go. This is going to be 180. We'll just do one time through. I think one time through is good enough for all you guys to practice. And you can put this on loop or repeat it if you're listening to the podcast on the video or the audio. So whatever works for you. Here we go. 180. Ooh, this is flying. Love it. Making mistakes? Was it perfect? Was it not? That's okay. Don't worry about it. Again, to get great at jazz piano, you don't need to master these things, which I think is a really, really a great point that I really want to emphasize. Like if you can get these up to 120, shoot for that. You can always get better at the tempos, and you will as you continue to use them. They're going to progress naturally. You don't always just need to keep doing the exercise. Like as you use them more and more and more, then they're going to get better naturally on their own. But just getting up to that solid 120 is really good. You can always kind of come back and test yourself with this type of assessment. There's thousands of ways to do and make this exercise more fun. If you're kind of bored with this, you can do rhythms, right? If you're trying to work on your rhythms, I would pick one rhythm consistent, go all the way through. Even if that's too hard, just do a short rhythm. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2. This will make it a little bit, you know, varying with a variety that's going to help kind of increase the engagement and fun level, right? And, you know, I'm going to be doing kind of like a production of these videos on the podcast. I'm going to show you a bunch of different things. So this is just structure one, right? We're going to do structure two, and then we're going to isolate the changes. Okay, by that, what I mean is what we're practicing today is all 2-5-1s, all 2-5-1s. But in jazz standards and tunes, we're preparing ourselves right now for game time, right? This is the practice. This is what we're working on so that when we get to the game, when we get to the tune and we're playing the tune, we can play through using these rootless voicings in the tune. That's game time, right? But not all the time in the tunes. You're going to see 2-5-1s. You might see a D minor 7, going to F sharp minor, going to A flat minor, going to G major. Because they're out of the 2-5-1s, this is going to throw a huge wrench in your gears if you don't practice the isolation of the qualities of the chords, which we'll be doing in a couple episodes where we're just going to go through all the minor 7s. Then we're going to go through all the dominants. Then we're going to go through all the majors, right? Completely different way of practicing. And if you can get your rootless voicings up to a point where they're isolated by quality, you truly have them underneath your hands and underneath your belt, okay? Hope you guys enjoyed this. This will stay on the podcast, obviously, for the rest of life and eternity. So you can consistently use this to practice with. If you do want to go deeper, obviously, get more practice workouts, exercises, notation, help from me, my staff, the community. There is a membership inside Jazz Piano School as well, along with many courses and live teaching programs from myself and my other staff. So hope you guys enjoyed that. I'll talk to you soon, and happy practicing.